And let's pray together, and you pray for me. Would you please? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy great love to us. We thank Thee, Lord God, for the extension of our lives to this moment, and for Thy blessing and the strength we enjoy and the measure of strength we have at this moment to be able to do Thy work in this place at this time. Guide me, help me to say what I must say and need to say, but keep from my mouth and lips anything that need not be spoken. Help me to be an encouragement, especially to this group of young people who just sang for us. Touch their lives, encourage them greatly. Help them to know they're living in a day of hope and a day of great opportunity. And may they seize their moment. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me into the book of Joshua, the 13th chapter. Joshua chapter 13. We'll begin reading in just a moment with verse 1. The Christian life, when lived at its fullest, is a series of new beginnings. I want you to think about that. We don't come to ends. It's new beginnings. And the greatest day of our lives will be the day we see the Lord Jesus. And the greatest measure of grace God will give us is at that moment. I believe He's coming again and coming soon. But anyway, we know He's coming sure, right? And we give Him the glory for that. We'll be able to live every day like that's the day the Lord would come. And when we look into this particular passage of Scripture, I want you to discover something for yourself. Ask God to guide you and speak to you, to give you an understanding. So let's begin, may we? In Joshua chapter 13, begin with verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark one word or write one word down, and that's what I'm speaking on. You find it in the heart of this verse. I want to emphasize it by reading this verse again and put an emphasis on the word. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. The word is and. It's a conjunction. I want you to find your divine conjunction. What God has yet for you. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. But continue thou. Actually, the word but is a disjunctive conjunction. It carries the thought, evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse in that chapter. But God says, but you, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. There we learn there's a process that we go through. Not only do we learn, but we are assured of things. We develop rock-ribbed convictions about what we're going to do, and we do it in the power and strength of the Lord. And may God guide us. Now, when we come to Joshua in this verse, in Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1, the Lord says in His word, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. That's the record of God's word in the book of Joshua. And then the Lord says, notice how God words it. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years. It's not enough that God writes it in His word for eternity. But God bends down and says to Joshua, That's right, Joshua. You're old. Don't people love to hear that? You're old and stricken in years. And you would imagine the next word you'd read would be yet. There's just so much to be done. Excuse me. So much to be done. and you're not going to live to get it done. But that's not what God says. God says, and. Your life is about and. It's not about an ending. It's about a conjunction. And you're not finished. Whatever individual you are, and whoever you are, and whatever you're doing, whatever stage in life you are, you're not finished. No matter what your record is or what you've accomplished in some great business venture or something in God's work here, you're not finished. To this church, it's not now. Look at us. We've accomplished. God doesn't look at it that way. He says, not yet, but and. And there remaineth very much land to be possessed. I've gotten you ready for what you're to do. And. Hold your place here just a moment, would you please? In Joshua chapter 1, we heard the reading a moment ago. The Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. That's the commission that the Lord gave to Joshua. They crossed over the Jordan, and they left monuments. Monuments for the children. Look what they are. They left stones. And the Bible says in the fourth chapter of Joshua, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? We're leaving this as a testimony to what God has done through our lives. And when we come to the end of Joshua's life at 110 years old, and the Lord has blessed him in such a magnificent way, those stones are still standing. You and I must leave something, and we must finish what God's given us to do so we leave the proper thing for the next generation. That's the story of any nation, any people. May God help us. When our forefathers settled this land in the colonies, there were 9 of the 13 colonies in America that believed in a state church, telling people how to practice their religion. And one of our Baptist forefathers, when asked to lead in the ratification of the Constitution, he said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to lead the state of Virginia, the colony of Virginia, the state of Virginia, the largest of the states, the most powerful of the states, the richest of the states at that time, the most influential of the states. Think of all the Virginians that came to the presidency. No, I'm not going to do that until you promise me you're going to make amendments to the Constitution, hence the Bill of Rights. And the very first is about the freedom we have to worship God as we please. Both those who wanted to ratify the Constitution and John Leland got their wishes. Leland got his amendment, and the Constitution was ratified with the guarantee of a freedom. The problem in America today is not that we don't have the freedom. The problem is we don't exercise it. We look at our country and praise God for its heritage, but there's so much yet to be done. We cannot live like people who've reached the end of the line. We must hear God's and. This is a wonderful church. I think one of the greatest churches in America, I really believe. And your pastor, one of the most wonderful pastors. And he's known for that, teaching and preaching the Word of God. But you're not finished. You're not finished. Not only is he not finished and you're not finished, but each of us, wherever we are, has to find our divine conjunction for our lives. What lies on the other side of and for you? There's something lying there, and God wants you to attack it with all of your heart And may the Lord guide you in doing so. While we're doing this, let's talk about these and people. Not the givers up, not the ones who sit down and do nothing, not the ones who relax and guide the rest of the way in neutral into glory. The people who discover the and in their life. And I love this, what God said to Joshua. I love it. Look at it again, please, in the 13th chapter. Just let it burn into your heart. See, Joshua had been killing the kings of Canaan. That was no easy task. That was his assignment in Joshua chapter 1. I want you to kill all the kings of Canaan. And the Bible says, look, please, in verse 1 of chapter 12, now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote. Canaan is not a picture of heaven. I don't want you to think it is. It's a picture of the abundant life, the life, the joyous life, the same abundant life the Lord Jesus talked about in the 10th chapter of John. It is our abundant life, and it's not heaven. There were 7 warring campaigns in Canaan, great battles fought in Canaan. And in those great battles, victories were won, and God's people grew and grew close to the Lord in those battles. And so Joshua now, the record says, he'd killed 31 kings. Look at the last verse in the 12th chapter. The king Tirzah won. All the kings, 30 and 1. And now the Lord says to Joshua, now you've killed 31 kings. So what? You haven't gained any merit. Great man, brave man, courageous man, be strong. And he was. But you're not finished. And, well, listen, you're old and stricken in years. That's the record. And I'm saying amen to the record, God says. You're old and stricken in years. And, not yet. And, do you get it? And, there's a conjunction for our lives, not an ending, not a period. And, there remaineth yet much more land to be possessed. I want you to write a few things down. The people who live in that and discover some things. One thing to discover is faith without works is dead. You don't get it done by just wishing. You got to rise up and work. Faith without works is dead. Let me give you a verse. We'll come back here. Turn to the book of James just for a moment, would you please? In the book of James, the 2nd chapter, the Lord saith, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Look at verse 17 in James chapter 2. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now Joshua's a man who was born in Egyptian bondage, in slavery. He saw the mighty works of God when God broke the power of Egyptian yoke and set his people free after 430 years. He witnessed fire and hail dancing across the earth in Egypt. He saw the Red Sea part and walls of water. He was there when they were trapped and Pharaoh said he had them. But God opened up the sea when the Lord said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He had quite a time with God. And now he's the man after Moses' death to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan and to finish what God started. To take the land of Canaan, to kill the 31 kings, but there's more to do. I want you to look at it. Let's go back to chapter 11. I said, faith without works is dead. If you think you're going to get something done around here or get something done in your life without your personal participation, you've missed it. You've missed it. We who live in and must know that faith without works is dead. You talk about all you want to see happen and all that needs to happen and all America needs to happen and all your community needs to happen. Well, it's your and. Look what the Lord says. Now Joshua and his army have been moving north, defeating kings, cleansing the land of sinful behavior, and establishing a stronghold for God's people. And they got tired of it. Not Joshua and his army, the people who were the enemies got tired of being defeated. So they decided they're going to unite together and form a confederacy. This is always the devil's way. Let's add to the strength of what we have, everything we can muster together, and then we're going to put a stop to all this stuff God's trying to do. So you come to the 11th chapter, and the Bible says it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazar, had heard those things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Asheph, and to the kings that were on the north side of the mountains and of the plains, south of Chittereth, and in the valley, and in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanites on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite and to the Hittite and to the Perizzite and to the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivites under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. He said, now look, if we don't band our forces together and form a confederacy to fight this man Joshua and these people coming through, they're going to put an end to us. Do you think the devil just rolls over and plays dead? Do we still deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil? Do we still face the resistance of all that can be empowered by the prince of this world and the powers of darkness? The answer is yes. When God has a plan and his people are to march forward, there's going to always be resistance. I was in a place the other evening, my wife and I going through the airport in Minneapolis. I had the most amazing thing happen. We were flying to Washington State to have a pastor's college with Northwest pastors there. And we were transferring from one plane to another, and we got into a motorized cart, and there was another lady in it. May I say, sort of an elderly lady, a little past 80. And we started a conversation with her. My wife gave her a gospel tract. She said, oh, I'm saved. I'm a Quaker. I said, well, go buy you a Cadbury candy bar. They were Quakers. She said, every Quaker knows that. And so we went on down the hallway, and she met her intersection where she was to get off, and we were waiting to move on to ours, and all of a sudden she said, oh, forgive me, I'm sorry, pardon me, please. I'd been complaining to my wife and fussing about my inability to walk and some of the things I was lacking in, and this woman said, just give me another moment, please. And I looked, and she said, my leg just fell off. You can laugh. I looked over the side of the golf cart, and sure enough, there was her leg laying on the carpet, just laying there. Now, here I am complaining to my wife just minutes earlier about it's a hard thing to walk around and do this. I said, ma'am? She said, I just need a minute. And she had a stocking to put on the end of the leg that was off, and the leg was in a hose, and so she had to put the hose and get it lined up on a suction device to get it on. She said, I'm just praying the other one won't fall off. I said, you got two of those? She said, yes. I said, how long have you been without both limbs? She said, oh, 60 years. How did it happen? In a car accident. But she couldn't be stopped. You know what we need? We need some people that can't be stopped. That can't be stopped. And don't sit around whining about how tough things are, how bad the world is. You think God doesn't know that? Sure, he knows that. And so they've got the army built to fight Joshua. And they went out, in verse 4 of chapter 11, and they went out, their host with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore, in multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. We're putting a stop to it, they said. And when all these kings were met together, They came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hoe their horses and burn their chariots with fire. Now I want to find out, what in the world is that? It is taking a sharp instrument and attacking the hamstring of a horse. Something we wouldn't do in a normal situation, but think about it. God said to Joshua, I want you to go into the battle, take your swords, and disable every horse. And then kill the riders. That's hand to hand. That's in the thick of it. That's as close as you can get with an animal that could overpower you in any second. And what does the Bible say? After burning their chariots with fire, after that, so Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon and unto Mizroth Maram and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward. And they smote them until they left them none remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him to do. He hoed their horses and burned their chariots with fire. Now, he went right in the thick of it. I want you to imagine the blood and the screaming and the hardship they faced. The difficulty of the task. They couldn't whine. They couldn't say, we can't do it. God said, have faith in me and get in there. And I'm getting in there with you. Now listen, that's the kind of Christian people that are demanded to have in this age in which we live. This is not an age for cowards. It's an age for bravery and courage and all that comes out of great faith in God. And we must realize we can't just sit around wishing things would happen and hoping it turns out a certain way. We need to engage in the battle with God on our side and get the work done God's given us to do. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take faith. And people of and, not people who are looking for a place to stop, but a way to continue, understand that. There's a second thing I want you to see, if you'll write it down. And this is amazing to me because it's not what I thought. It's not how I started out. God saves some of our greatest battles for later in life. I remember walking into the Levi Strauss Company. They wanted millions of dollars for a building. We wound up paying them $3.5 million. But the first time I walked in that building to transfer our properties from the college to the church and make that our campus, I was just overcome. Matter of fact, it made me weak just thinking about it. It's a massive building. I went back a second time. Felt the same thing. Went back the third time and began to think, well, God's greater than this if this is what he wants us to do. And when we finally bought the thing and put $9 million into it to make a campus out of it, someone said to me that you know and I have great respect for, well, at least you'll never have to go through this again. I didn't say a word, but I thought, the greatest battles are ahead. The greatest battles are ahead, and they are. And the Lord says here of Joshua, in verse 18 of chapter 11, Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. You might as well understand, the battle is never over until the trumpet sounds. Every generation. If you kids want to be strong in the Lord and be everything God wants, you must engage in the battle and it's a battle every day. But it's not horrible. It's joyful. People say sometimes that premillennial people who are looking for the Lord's return and pre-tribulation premillennial people are negative by nature because they're thinking everything's getting worse. And a friend of mine who's a spiritual father to me said to me one day, "What could be terrible about seeing Jesus?" You see, it's the way we look at it. And people, not yet, but and people, understand that all God's doing in them at the present is to prepare them for another battle in the future. So here it comes. You remember when Moses sent the 12 spies out? And they came back, 10 of them, with an evil report and said, "Oh, we can't do it. We looked at those giants, those Anakims, and we're like grasshoppers." That's 40 years ago. And now the Lord says, notice please, in verse 21 of this 11th chapter, "And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, and from Debir, and from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There were none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza and Gath and Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said, and Moses and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto the children according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested." Now think about that. He was an old man. And I want to tell you a third thing. Whether you sit here and do nothing, or you're actively involved, participating, or totally engaged, there remaineth a third thing. There remaineth, as God says, yet very much land to be possessed. I begin to think, how many Christian people reach their full potential? How many of you have reached your full potential? Everything God wants to do with you, and everything God wants to do through you. You see, there has to be some of these remnant churches awakened to greater things, greater steps of faith, that the battle is still on. It is still on, and you're still in it. Listen to the language God gives to Joshua, chapter 13. Now Joshua's old and stricken in years. "And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." And he began to be specific. Look at it. "And this is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines, and all Jeshurun, and all Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron southward, which is counted to the Canaanite, five lords of the Philistines." And he goes on and on and on, spelling it out, saying, look, it's great what you've done. It's wonderful to look back. It's joyous to see God's hand in your life. But I want you to know, you're old and stricken in years, and there's very much land yet to be possessed. It's an attitude about God's work. And we need that attitude. You need that attitude. I need that attitude. May I give you the verse again? Chapter 13, verse 1. "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." I'm going to tell you this. Dr. Lee Robertson was my spiritual father. I served on his staff. He said to me late in life, he said, "Clarence, I know that I'm a father to you, and I want you to know you're a son to me." We had what I would call an intimate relationship. He lived to be 97 years old, And God did an amazing thing with this man's life. When he was 95, he and I were in a car traveling together. And he turned to me, and this is what the great man said. I know I won't be long here, and I should have had more faith in God. Immediately, I wanted to reprove him. And I said, oh, Dr. Robertson, don't talk like that. You started the resurgence of that church. You built Tennessee Temple and the seminary and the paper, the evangelists and the radio station and the camp where thousands of children have been saved. Then he turned to me sternly and said, but I know I should have had more faith in God when I could have. And when you and I lay down this robe of flesh and soar beyond the stars to be with God, it won't be but seconds, just seconds, until we know fully what we could have attempted for the Lord and didn't. And I see this man, Joshua, rugged warrior, battled after battle for the glory of God. Maybe there's scars and maybe a certain look on his face when you know he is a man who is a great man and a great fighter for God and a great faith man. And God came near him, near enough to whisper. And he said, Joshua, I know you're old and you're stricken in years. But you've got to understand something. And there's very much land yet to be taken. And I want to say to you, I look into your faces, these marvelous young people that you've sent us at Crown College, the best of the bunch. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. The magnificent building that you have and how you're pastor no doubt has weathered one storm after another. But I want you to know it's not an end. You're at your and. Get alone with God. Find out what the divine conjunction for you is. What God Himself has prepared you for. And be ready to get engaged again in the only fight in this world that's worth fighting. For the glory of the Lord Jesus. Let's bow in prayer, may we? Let's
pray. Lord, again, thank you for your goodness to us, the mercy and the grace that you've shown to us. Thank you, Father, for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us for all sin. And Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus is the one that is worth fighting for, the one continuing for. Thank you for the message tonight. And Lord, help us to keep going and keep strong and have faith in God, we pray. And I pray that the impact of this message would be seen and impact our community, our state, our country, and our world. And we pray for the folks here tonight that have been at the altar. We pray you'd solidify decisions. And Lord, may it all go to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.